information about AI-based warfare and the realities of algorithmic warfare project, go to greenplanetmonitor.net. While you're there, subscribe. With your help, we'll keep delivering stories about planet Earth, human development, justice, and science to listen to, read, and watch. AI-based targeting system spares nothing and no one. Missile strikes and 2,000-pound bombs reduce mosques and churches to rubble, along with fishing boats, journalists' headquarters, and cultural centers. Over in the West Bank, 5 minutes from Gaza, on the wings of an F-35, boots on the ground do the door smashing. On the night of December 12th, in the besieged city of Jenin, IDF troops broke into Jenin's renowned Freedom Theater, ransacking and vandalizing its rooms and stage, as Israeli soldiers are wont to do, before moving on to the homes of its extensively surveilled directors. Ahmed Tabassi was released the next day. General Manager Mustafa Shetta remains in detention, reportedly in Megiddo in northern Israel, where most of Israel's 8,000 political prisoners are held under Article 76 of the Fourth Geneva Convention. Occupying powers like Israel are required to detain prisoners inside occupied territory. Israel routinely flouts the convention with complete impunity. I spoke with Mustafa Shetta last July. Here is our conversation. Hello, Mustafa Shetta. Thank you for joining me on the Green Planet Monitor. Can you introduce yourself? Tell me who you are and where you are and what you do.
My name is Mustafa Shetta. I am from Jenin City, and I work as the general manager of the Freedom Theater in Jenin refugee camp.
And you are in Jenin right now?
Yeah, I live in Jenin. Yeah, I'm in Jenin now. I am in my home during the military operations out of the camp now, where is the Israel forest and the army, they attack the camp in this moment.
Can you tell me what the Freedom Theater is?
Okay, the Freedom Theater, it's a cultural organization, but it's based on the heritage from Arna Mer. She's a Jewish woman. She came to Jenin to establish this creative center to help the Palestinian from the first Intifada. We talk about 89 to establish a center to help the children for their expression. In that time, Israel closed the school, and Arna came to Jenin to establish the childhood centers in Jenin and Jenin refugee camp. Later, her son, Giuliano, he joined to her mother to establish the first theater in Jenin. It was called the Stone Theater in the middle of Jenin refugee camp. But during the invasion, Jenin invasion happened in 2002. It's destroyed by Israel. Then Giuliano returned with his film, Arna Children, to make documentary about what mother did. And depending on this film, he decided to return to Jenin and reestablish again theater in Jenin refugee camp and give it title The Freedom Theater from 2006. The Freedom Theater, it's like cultural organization, but it's more than this. It's cultural, social, and political movement where we focus for raise the critical and brave voice against to monitor and evaluate the situation in Palestine. We raise the title of or the concept of cultural resistance, and we work under this title in our work. We have more than 45 professional production. We have here at the Freedom Theater the only performing arts school in Palestine, where we give this opportunity for the talent young people in Jenin and in the north of West Bank and for the Palestinian from 48 to learn what's mean theater, how they can be professional actor. And besides that, the child and youth program, where we work with the children and the youth and the women in Jenin area, and we depend on that. We have yearly Kids for Kids play, and we work with the people, with the kids and their parents for their mental health, for something related with their exit in Palestine.
And there's actually a facility. There is a theater, a building in the refugee camp in Jenin. The Freedom Theater has a facility in the refugee camp.
Yeah, we are our based in Geneva refugee camp. Already we rent the place from the youth center, and we are usually, we have like different activities. Recently already we finished our summer camp and we continue our production with the different people. So yeah, we have all the ability to be there, and the people already, where they stand with us already, as what I said, we have already, we are from here. I mean, we are from this area. So we are work together. We're proud of this place, how it's created, how we continue, and for everything.
Now, in this most recent incursion of the Israeli military into Jenin refugee camp, have they targeted the Freedom Theater?
When we talk about what they target, what Israel army target this in our area, they target everything related with the life. I mean, they target the Freedom Theater, they target the youth center, they target the road, the streets, they destroy it. They target the trees, they target the cars, everything. They destroy everything. The idea about what's happened with the Freedom Theater, that they bombed the doors, the doors of the stage. And they opened the door of the stage of the Freedom Theater, and they change it to be like arrested center, because they bring all the young people and the youth from the camp and put it in the stage and make investigation with them. Then that's the attack. They attacked us by this way, and they changed the yard of the Freedom Theater to be like a military zone for their jeeps, for their forests, for their groups. And until this moment, they occupied all the area with the buildings, guest house, and the theater office, and the theater stage. It's occupied by them now. I mean, until this moment, they are there. They are based, their military there in our theater.
So at this moment, as we speak, we're speaking now on July 4th in the morning, the Israeli military, the IDF, have occupied the facilities of the Freedom Theater.
Yes.
What's the situation in Jenin right now?
It's really hard. You know, we live in the war situation, we can say. Israel attacked us from different area, and from the ground, from the sky, drones in the sky, the jeeps, military jeeps all the time. They came and moved in different area. But they make a siege, especially they targeted the center of the refugee camp, where they make a big siege around it. They try to catch the fighters, or maybe kill them, maybe arrested them. We don't know. But until this moment, they talk about different goals, 10 points of their goals. And we don't know what exactly that means. I mean, we expect something maybe will be more worse later.
And how many Palestinians have been injured? How many have been killed?
Today, we talk about 10 persons that are killed. We talk about around 100 persons that are injured.
And are these, who are these people? Are they militants who are fighting? Or are they everybody? Like the civilians, men, women, children? Who's been injured? And how have they been injured?
In fact, they are not military. They are not military. They are young people. They are youth. They killed them during their attack. Some of them, they are through stones sometime. The idea of the attack, when the people, they just want to check, for example, to explain what's going on around them. They target them by snipers. They use snipers all the time when they attacked us. So the number of the people, we'll talk about people between 18 to 25, they are killed in this operation in this days.
And there are Israeli snipers on the roofs of the refugee camp.
Yeah, they occupied all the buildings, the high buildings, and they put their snipers there, and they targeted all the persons already. Maybe they are being here or there sometime. I mean, it's not about just the fighters. It's about everything. It's about any person he just moved. As maybe in the TV, sometime they destroy the doors of the hospitals. They destroy the cars. They did everything against the human being, the life in general.
They destroyed the doors of the hospital.
Yeah, the big doors of the hospitals this morning.
This is a hospital within the refugee camp?
It's government hospital. It's close to the Jenin refugee camp, but with their bulldozer, they destroy it during their move and come and move in the front of the hospital.
And did have they occupied the hospital? Have troops gone into the hospital?
No, they don't occupy the hospital, but they make the situation for the ambulance. It's really hard. They don't allow for them to check for the injured in the camp. They don't allow for them to move by freeway. They all the time stop them. They check all the time. Check what they have in the car in their ambulance, and that makes the life. Or the situation and the process of the work for the medical help, it's really hard in this moment.
And there are drones overhead.
Yes.
Tell me about that. I mean, it's a very uncanny, horrible experience to hear the buzzing of a drone over your head. But are there drones flying overhead regularly over Jenin?
They use that for to talk, not just the drones. It's not just to take photo or to cover something. It's like, you know, it's like intelligence. It came here to target the people with the rocks, small rocks, and they killed some people. Recently, before 10 days, they killed three persons in Jenin by drones. So it's occupied the sky, I mean. All the time you hear the noise and the voice and of these drones in our sky. So we are worried when we hear about the drones above us. That means we are in a dangerous situation, you know.
And there are helicopters. Are there jet fighters? Are there helicopters?
They use sometimes Apache, but in this opportunity, they don't use it until this moment. They threat us to use Apache and F-16 and the tanks. But until this moment, we are lucky they don't use it until this time.
I mean, it's a war zone right now in Jenin. Are you able to go outside? Are you able to go shopping?
No. It's all the markets. It's closed now. No one move. Already, they give us sometime 1 hour just to move to check for the markets. I mean, the local and the neighbor markets. Sometimes you have some friends or people already open small markets in some neighborhood. We move through the doors, through the houses to reach for something. But it's a closed. It's like refuge. No one can move. Any person he move, he put himself in very dangerous situation because he don't know what he can discover. And this morning, I discovered the Israel army in the front of my home. So I expect why they are came to me. They came to me or what for what? But I prepare myself. I prepare myself. Maybe if they want to arrest me, to be just ready. But it's okay because they are just came here to make some survive and they are moved. So we expect all the time there is something will happen. There is something worse may will be happened. For example, they arrested my colleague Adnan Nagnari. He's the technician of the Freedom Theater because they attacked his home and they arrested him. My colleague Ahmed Toubassi, the artistic director of the Freedom Theater, he's from the camp. He can't stay in his home. So they decide to move. In the night, through the ambulance and through the Red Cross, and that's really difficult. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like the people when they are just moved in 48, that like the refugees, how they move from their houses and their homeland in 48 in Nakba. We talk about in Nakba how it's like that. It's the same situation, and we are faced now in this time. Like what's happened in 2002. In 2002, Jenin refugee camp was the main battle of the struggle between the Palestinian fighters and Israel. We return to repeat the same situation. Israel, unfortunately, until this moment, they don't understand how they can find solution. The solution does not come by military force came to Jenin and attacked and killed the people. The solution is by end the problem. The problem by end the occupation. It's clear. It's logic. I mean, the idea about how we can continue to find solution, not continue to blood for bloods and bloods and bloods and lose the people. The idea by end the occupation and give the people their rights.
Of course, the Israeli government position is that it is trying to weed out terrorists, quote unquote, and the international community, quote unquote, starting with the United States. The United States, the Biden administration has said that it supports Israel entirely. It supports Israel's incursion into Jenin entirely, that Israel has the right to defend itself.
I heard what the U.S. government said and the U.K. government said in this morning. It's immoral. it's not really, it's something really not good, not, it's really bad. They said, we respect Israel, protect themselves, and we accept that. And they asked the two parties to calm down. I don't know what they need from us, how we can calm down. We are under attack. Sometimes it's something really, it's something like, really silly when they ask the people under incubation and under punishment to be silent, don't cry, don't be angry, and you must to be silent all the time. So this is not logic, and that's really clear. This imbalance, a relationship between the people here, that I mean, the international community and how they look for the situation here, like what's going on when they talk about Ukraine, for example. About the occupation, the Russian occupation, the Ukrainian resistance. And we talk about that later. We respect the Ukrainian resistance. We support that because we don't hope to find any people in the world to be under occupation, sure, because we have this experience. But we ask the people, if you consider, you respect and recognize the resistance in Ukraine, please consider we are here as a human. We have the same condition. We are under occupation. It's Israeli occupation, and we have resistance. And you must recognize we are follow the international community, the international law. Why you don't consider us part of the world? Sometimes, you know, this is the problem. Sometimes with the U.S. and later they ask why the world they hate U.S. I don't know. It's clear they hate U.S. because you did something bad.
The various factions, Mustafa Shetta, the various factions, militant factions, and political factions with their militant wings in Jenin are collaborating. Hamas, Islamic Jihad, they're all working together. They're all collaborating.
Yeah. I mean, all the Palestinian parties and all the military wings, now they are working together. I mean, from the last 2 years, the Palestinians themselves, they have a problem with their leadership, you know, with Abu Mazen, with the Palestinian government. They don't trust on them, including the Palestinian parties. I mean, the people, they can't, what we can say, we can't accept all these years with a miserable situation, without any hope, without any future. So the young people from the camp, already they're born in 2002 during the invasion. Now they are the leaders. They have like a critical voice about everything around them. So they decide, yes, they have different ideological. I mean, they have different ideological about the situation, about the life. Some of them, they are communists. They don't, believe in communists and the socialists. Some people, they are believe in the Islamic State or Islamic movement. Some of them, they are close to national movement or national issues. But they decide to be together. They decide to have one weapon, to fight one enemy. And they decide this enemy will be the incubation. So that put all of them in one space to have the common idea about Palestine and about the struggle in general.
And it must be, I know it is, incredibly difficult to organize if you're a militant in a place like Jenin, because the Israeli military and Shin Bet, they've got everybody's phone numbers, they've got everybody's photographs. They know where everybody lives. When they go into Jenin, they know exactly which buildings they're targeting.
Exactly, yes. They sent me message. They told me, don't be part of any action in Jenin. We will arrest you. They threatened me.
You got a text message from Shin Bet?
Yeah, they threatened me. They told me, don't be part of anything. If you be part, we will arrest you. Maybe they don't have it. Sometimes they don't happy with what we said in the news, with the agencies. We talk about what's going on about Palestine, and they told us, you don't say the truth all the time. You make something else. I mean, you give some another image, or it's the opposite of the reality. They target everything here. They target any person. He have the voice or raise the voice, and this is the problem. So they know everything. They follow us, they run around us, and they try to catch any person. He just have something different, and he try to make something, some activities or something different, in fact.
So how do people organize themselves under such incredibly powerful surveillance and oppression?
Inside the camp, the leadership, it's like common leadership. It's like no one leader. I mean, they have like a committee. together, they decide about everything. They protect themselves within the houses in the camp. And the majority of them, they are already from the camp. I mean, their families there, their relatives there. So they organize themselves without return to any we can high leaders out of the camp to take decision or to make something. They decide about what they have by themselves directly, daily, without any agenda out of the camp. So that helped them, in fact, to continue until this moment. We hope for them to be safe, out of the killing, because now we expect Israel, they will make another crazy process and the operation inside the camp maybe for the next hours. So we hope for them to be safe. I think they don't, our people, our fighters, they don't have this experience. They are not, I mean, be part of training, military training before, to be like real soldiers. But they use what they know about the natural of their place, the geographic, and about what they know. They depend on their belief sometimes for their right to fight and all of that issue.
And where do Palestinians' security forces, the security forces of the Palestinian Authority, fit into all this?
I don't know what I can say. Maybe I can just put my head. No voice for them. Just yesterday, Abu Mazen and the government, they decide to have meeting after 10 hours, not 10 hours, after around 20 hours of the Israel attack Jenin, to say, we are feel sorry. We ask the international community to ask Israel to stop their invasion. We are really feel bad from the American position. And they ask us to survive and to continue in the struggle. But they are not part of that, I mean. They don't allow for any person, any Palestinian security, member of the security advice, to be part of this, because that's not allowed for them in general. So their military zone for the Palestinian Authority, there is no one there. You don't have any voice there.
And Abbas has just said that he's going to end security cooperation, which makes me laugh. I mean, how many times has he said, we're going to end security cooperation? Like, geez, haven't you already ended security cooperation? You're saying now you're going to...
Who care about that? No one care about that. Look, in Jenin City, in those last two years, no one already respect this authority already. No one listen to that authority. I mean, if what he want to say, that's not important for us as a people in Jenin. It's about this government. It's not have the power because they don't have the trust from the people. I mean, the same. I mean, no one yesterday wait Abu Mazen's speech. In fact, no one. We heard about that in the social media. It's just like a joke, you know. Hey, what Abu Mazen said? He said, I will end the security cooperation with Israel. Wow, thank you. Wow, that's great action. But in general, really, to be honest, no one care about that. We don't think the Palestinian Authority can invest in this or can be involved in this action in Jenin. Now, but we know at the same time that means that's what us alone in our area. Not just Abu Mazen, by the way, including Hamas in Gaza. Hamas, they said, if they pass through the red line, we will stop them. We don't know what mean red line. All the people ask, what's red line? They killed us. They attacked us. But we don't know what's red line. What that mean? The two authorities in Gaza or in Ramallah or in Gaza, they just give us speech and titles without any action in the ground.
Do activists and militants in Jenin have an analysis or a program for the future? Do they have a position on the two-state model versus the one-state model?
You talk about the fighters in the camp?
Yeah, the fighters, but not just. I'm talking about activists, political activists, and as well as militants. Do they have a feeling about whether or not the two-state solution is dead and there should be a single democratic state? Do they take a position on this?
David, recently, I consider myself part of those activists in general. Recently, all the speech talk about one state. No one talk about two states. All the speech talk about one state. And here we talk about how we can work together for that. It's not with the Jewish or Israeli people, by the way. I talk about the Palestinians themselves. Palestinians think about, it's not logic. What we can do all these years, we talk about two states, it's nothing happened. Nothing changed in the ground. So the idea why we don't return to the core of the conflict or the problem, to talk about one state for all people. Yes, there is a problem with the, for example, Jewish or with the Israeli, we can't solve it. But we don't want to focus for something we can't achieve it. The two states, it's something we can't work on. Netanyahu himself recently he said, forget the solution of two states. But Netanyahu said that because he have one solution to transfer the Palestinian out of Palestine. For us, for me, I believe in that solution because I focus for right of return for the refugees to their original places. So that's different, you know, different opinion or different thinking about one issue.
Right now, Mustafa, can you hear bombs and guns and sounds? What are you hearing through your window?
I hear now from my window the drones in the sky.
You can hear drones?
Yes.
That must be a very scary feeling.
It's scary, but when you're scared sometimes, you are, what we can say, you scare one time, but later it will be like normal, you know, you deal with that. For sure, when I heard that in the beginning, what's going on, what I can do, how I can protect myself, I will hit myself. But now it will be like normal, you know, we deal with that. It's dangerous, but what we can do, we need to continue in our life.
Are folks such as yourself in Jenin, in the refugee camp and outside the camp, but in Jenin, are you meeting? Are you talking? Are you organizing? Are you holding gatherings? Are you able to communicate? Are you able to discuss? Yeah, at this moment, in these days.
In these days, in fact, we can't meet any person because it's difficult. They divided the city and the camp. We can't meet each other by safe way and by in person. It's really hard and difficult. Just we make a call and contact with my colleagues, with the people, just to check about their condition, about their situation. But it's not about meeting. I have another meeting, for example, with the people outside of Palestine to ask for some project, artistic project or something, with the people from Europe, with the people from US. And I inform them we are in this situation and they are shared. The story of the Freedom Theater already we published in social media about my testimony, about what's happened, about Ahmed Touba. He makes some videos, talk about what's going on in Jenin. So we share that in this moment. I think, David, the Freedom Theater in this moment changed to be from the cultural organization to be like information center, to inform the people about the situation and what's going on.
Mustafa Shetta is founding director and general manager of the Freedom Theater in the occupied West Bank city of Jenin. Shetta was arrested by Israeli soldiers on December 13th. He's now believed to be held in Megiddo prison inside Israel and will reportedly face a military court in the coming days. His chances of acquittal are virtually nil. The charges he faces are unknown. Such is the nature of Israeli military justice in occupied Palestine. For more information about Mustafa Shetta and the Jenin Freedom Theater, go to greenplanetmonitor.net. That's it for today's GPM, a listener-supported podcast coming to you from Earth Chronicle Productions in the Netherlands. Listen to, read, and watch more Earth stories at greenplanetmonitor.net. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube, and our home base, Blueberry. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, and Canada's Harbinger Media Network. Wherever or however you're listening, reading, or watching, please help us make the GPM happen. Subscribe and or donate at greenplanetmonitor.net. By the way, the guy behind this guitar is Dan Weisenberger. Thanks for your brilliant instrumental themes, Dan. I'm David Kattenberg. Over and out for now.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, and we wish you the best for the new year.